that brings us.
Don't
go anywhere, gentlemen. That brings us to item D1, the 2040 Metropolitan Transportation Plan Alternative Analysis. I apologize to everyone. I have to step out of this meeting for just a moment. I will be back very soon, but in the meantime, I'm going to hand over the gavel to our Mayor Pro Tempore. And I'll join you in a minute.
Okay.
Thank you. This is really a follow-up presentation. The board heard the bulk of the presentation earlier this month. And mainly it's to note to the board that the TAB provided some additional comments on the 2040 Metropolitan Transportation Plan developed by the MPO the alternatives analysis that is ongoing right now. The previous motion that the board made requested that the MPO include greenhouse gas emissions metrics in their research and also requested that the MPO communicate with local jurisdictions on their current greenhouse gas emissions goals. So that has been adopted by the board and forwarded to the MPO for their consideration. The TAB had a number of additional comments from their September 20th meeting. I want to stress that these reflect draft minutes, so they haven't been approved by the TAB, but these are the comments. This is a summary of the comments that they provided. They had concerns about the way that the regional travel demand model functions, and concerns about greenhouse gas emissions similar to the board. They felt that the model doesn't take into account a range or take into account uncertainty. They were concerned that none of the alternatives presented, if you recall this from the earlier meeting, they were concerned that the alternatives presented did not significantly reduce the number of vehicle miles traveled estimated by the model. And if you recall, the alternatives were combinations of land use scenarios and transportation networks being highway intensive, transit intensive, and then a kind of a mixture scenario called the moderate scenario. The TEB also expressed concern that there's no comprehensive local or regional transit plan in place, and that would help determine ridership before these major investments are made. And the TAB would also like to see express transit from all major modes to the airport. So those are the comments that the TAB made. This is the next steps are for the MPO. Of course, Lydia's chair and Mark also sits on the committee to consider releasing the preferred alternative for public comment at the Wednesday, October 10th meeting. So this is really a placeholder agenda item for the board to make any additional comments on the 2040 Metropolitan Transportation Plan to the MPO or ask any more questions or receive any more information.
Jeff, would these comments be timely in terms of being available to the MPO on the 10th at their meeting, do you think? That it would get, we get it to them, their staff, and they'd get it into the materials?
I think so. I think that the MPO, even if they get some comments after, the time they release the agenda, they can provide additional comments at the meeting during the presentation of the meeting.
Questions, comments?
I had a question about, in the last meeting, I know Sammy brought this up, he knows much more about greenhouse gases than I do, but you asked if, I think you raised the issue, and then is there a model that does measure the greenhouse gas emissions, and they're just not using that model, or what?
Yeah,
can we be
is.
More specific about a comment that we'd like to make about that? Is if there's a model, can we recommend that model to them?
There is, and while I'm not an expert on the model itself, long story short, one of the steps in this process is after the MPO adopts the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, an air quality conformity analysis needs to be done. And basically what this document does is ensure that the transportation plan does not cause motor vehicle emissions to rise above certain levels. Mm-hmm. And these emissions are include basically regulated emissions that are regulated by the EPA. That doesn't include greenhouse gas emissions, but includes other emissions like volatile organic compounds and so forth. That air quality conformity document is usually completed by Triangle J Council of Governments. And in order to model emissions, they use a software developed primarily by the EPA called Mobile 6. And Mobile 6 is primarily tailored to modeling these regulated emissions by the EPA. There is a new model called MOVES, and I know the MPO has at least discussed moving from Mobile 6 to MOVES. They're both acronyms. The difference between the two, and again, I'm definitely not an expert on this topic, so I'm speaking very generally. The difference between the two is that MOVES actually has a pretty good modeling capability for greenhouse gas emissions. Mobile 6 has a very basic one. So MOVES is the model to use if you want to evaluate greenhouse gas emissions. And I'm almost positive that the MPO is not using it this time around, but I know they have looked into it. I'm just not sure of what their current status is as to how soon they would switch to this emissions model.
We did make a recommendation previously in regard to that, measuring greenhouse gas.
Yes.
I mean, could we be more specific, though, if we want them to use this, because we know this measure, we just said we wanted them to measure the greenhouse gas emissions, and it sounds like they have information and awareness of this other model that will actually do it. Can we be specific in our comments about suggesting that they use that model?
We can. If we know that's the best model.
How do we know? Yeah.
I mean, I'm certainly not in a position to
say what the best model is. I'm not either. It sounds like it measures what we want it to measure, and the current one doesn't, except the things that the EPA measures.
Yeah, and I wish I could be more confident in knowing exactly where the MPO stood on consideration of this new model, but again, I'm speaking in general terms.
Okay.
We could just ask Lydia to take that point with her to the meeting.
Okay.
Can you represent us on that point?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
We will.
Randy?
The six comments from TAB, I just want to know if you know, in our attachment A resolution, if we should be undergirding those six comments and recommending them. I thought they were very thoughtful. I'm really glad that TAB did the work, and but I didn't know if that's something we needed to add to attachment A, and I wanted to raise that question.
Yeah, well, I mean, one thought I had about that, Randy, is, I mean, the MPO often gets recommendations from, for example, the Durham Open Space and Planning, Commission, or Durham Open Space Trails Commission, or the Durham Planning Board. I think, Jeff, am I wrong? Because the public comment period is for anyone. It seems like we also could simply forward on the comments from our TAB straight to the MPO, mm-hmm. in the absence of completely agreeing with every single one of them. So.
Jackie and myself.
I'm perfectly happy to pass them on as the comments of our TAB, but not as the comments, as you said, of our board. I mean, some of these are significant policy ideas that haven't been thoroughly vetted either with this board or with the citizens in large. Some of them have to do with big changes or handing over changes in zoning regulations and development. And I think that's just not something that we want to sign off on like that, because the TAB thinks it's a good idea. It may very well be a good idea, but that's, and I also don't know if I believe that the MPO is the place that should be making the town's zoning decisions. That's getting to kind of I'm not sure that I want to hand that over to other entities. So I'm fine with this being passed along, with it being very clear that these are suggestions from our Transportation Advisory Board, but not that this is an agreed-upon policy statement from the Board of Aldermen. Those are two very different things.
Yeah, I actually would not be comfortable passing it on, because I don't think we can pass it on without there being the implication that it, to some extent, represents us. So I would vote against a motion to do that. I have actually four of their points that I either don't understand or don't necessarily agree with. I don't know what the best way to proceed on this. We could just take them one by one and see what we want to include, or if someone wants
that
to make
them. That
would
be like a two-hour conversation.
It would.
Probably.
It's a long time. Or we could just, you know, ask, what's the time frame on this? If we wanted TAB to provide more detail on these points, is there time later on to, or is MBO going to be wrapping it up?
There are actually some that I don't care what the details are. I'm not going to support them.
Right, so we shouldn't pass them on, is what I'm saying.
I'm the liaison. I could very quickly explain
that
there are not that many. The second one is the one that we talked about last week, the greenhouse gas emissions. The first one is basically there is concern by the Transportation Advisory Board that this model, because it doesn't reflect current zoning and the potential to change zoning to affect transportation, it portrays a vision of the future that we just have to be cognizant of not being set in stone. We do have the power to change that. That was our main concern. It wasn't so much that the MPO should set our zoning policy. It's more about us being aware that this is a model based on certain assumptions, and one of those assumptions is that land use policy will remain the way it is.
But you got to be careful what you wish for and how you word it. That's anyway.
Right, and so and then related to that is also regional parking pricing strategies, and the Transportation Advisory Board was speaking to UNC, for example, and how they've been able to achieve a lot of changes to the way that parking happens on campus. You know, the concern that none of these alternatives significantly change the number of miles traveled.
You skipped over the third one, which is one that I don't understand at all.
Oh, this one is related to the point of they don't give a range of estimate of what the uncertainty is with their projections, so it gives a sense of this is pretty, it's very deterministic, like the model is very precise about what the future would look like, doesn't give the degree of error that may be involved. So that was the concern. The second to last one's pretty straightforward, that there's no local comprehensive regional transit plan, and then the last one's very self-explanatory.
So for myself, of those, the one I would add to the motion is the fourth one. And I think that's something that's pretty clear, that's been a guiding point in our own policy, seeking to reduce vehicle miles travel.
I think some of the alternatives do reduce the number of vehicle miles significantly.
Okay, well, I'm not remembering from when we looked at it, so if that's right.
Yeah, I think so, because one was transit heavy, one was road heavy. Am I right, Jeff?
Right, but you look at the figures.
I mean, I don't want to go into any details about it. I don't want to drag it on, but.
Here is the differences, and you can see there is the alternatives are on the x-axis, and the number of vehicle miles traveled are on the y-axis. This is total VMT per capita per day, and the moderate and transit-friendly transportation networks have a lower VMT per capita than the another transit-friendly alternative, but then also...
Or than the base year, I mean.
Yeah.
Or than 2010, I mean. Although it's a pretty modest decrease from the 2010 level.
Mm-hmm.
And did TAB see this chart?
And their deliberations.
Yeah, they did see the general numbers here. Yes.
Yeah, I mean the range there is not so big. I understand, like, you know, multiply that times as many people as there are, but with changes to the land use patterns, you could probably achieve more. And that's the problem with this model, is that it takes into assumption land use patterns being set.
The same.
Right. And what it may, it doesn't inspire us to change the way that we affect right. land use policy. It's not so much speaking about how the MPO would impose land policy on us, but rather the opportunity for being used as a tool for us to reimagine.
Right. See, that's what I was thinking.
I
agree with and appreciate the quest and the goals. I'm not sure that this is the right medium for those.
Well, it's less about the medium, it's more about a tool to understand how to implement the zoning.
No, because you're passing it on to the MPO, and then it becomes the medium, and I don't think that that's, in my view, the appropriate medium for Carrboro zoning and development decisions.
Mm-hmm. I think
one point to that? I would totally agree with that if we had available to us the tool, and maybe we could make that available at a staff level, but I think there is an opportunity to, I don't know how costly it is, if that were available to our planning staff to really be able to think through and play with that tool to envision and inform the way that we do zoning. And so in that sense, I think it would be valuable because, and if we don't have that tool, then there's an opportunity to think of, you know, how would we be able to have a conversation with the MPO so that we could be more informing of each other.
And that goes to the bullet that's immediately before about having a comprehensive local and regional transit plan.
Mm-hmm. On that chart that you're showing there, total vehicle miles traveled per capita, daily miles, so you have the sort of base year 2010 listed, and then you have those various figures that are shown there. This plan is supposed to go through 2040, so 28 years from now. When it says, for example, on the highway oriented option 33, what's the assumption about 33 when? 28 years from now?
Yes, in the year 2040.
Mm. Okay. So, you know, I feel like appreciate the comments that our advisory board made, but it seems to me, it's hard to believe that 28 years from now that anybody will be able to afford to travel 33 miles per day that the average person be able to afford to even do that. And that, you know, one of the things that really ought to be taken into consideration in this plan is the rapid way in which the cost of fuel for driving these vehicles has gone up in over the last 10 years or even less than the last 10 years. You know, it seems to me that under any of the, I mean, if I had to make a guess, I would say all these figures are going to be lower mm-hmm. than what's being estimated here. Simply because the cost of transportation is going to continue to outpace the rate at which the amount that all of us are being paid for the work we do is going up, and so which to me implies that we ought to be pursuing those models which involve public transportation and various alternatives to single passenger automobiles. I don't think any of these comments really get directly to that point.
Well, let me just point out that the TAB's comment on the third one, the uncertainty and estimate range, this one doesn't allow for that consideration.
That kind, that's the kind of uncertainty they're talking about.
Right, right, there's no uncertainty represented here. And, right, and that's the problem with this model, is right, it, when you present this to governing boards,
it's deterministic.
It's deterministic. It doesn't allow for consideration of alternatives, and even the alternatives are very limited, you know. So,
so from the time I started driving a car 25, 26 years ago until maybe like 7 years ago, the cost of gas was somewhere between about 98 cents a gallon and $1.60 or something like that. In the intervening 8 years, it's moved to somewhere between $3.50 and $4 a gallon, you know. And I mean,
Randy's going to take you to school on that point.
Well, I don't need to be taken to school on that point, I don't think. But my point is that you know, the highway oriented model isn't just undesirable because it increases by, according to them, what, like 9% the vehicle travels mile, but because it's simply totally unrealistic. I mean, we're not going to be able to afford to do it as a state. There's no revenues to support that model, and there's no foreseeable way that the residents of our community or of North Carolina can afford to actually travel those kinds of miles 28 years in the future.
Well, Mark, why don't we make that our statement instead of just saying, yeah, move on to 2040. Why don't you make a statement like that? I will move it if you create it.
I
don't want to put Lydia in a bad position, though. I'm sorry.
This is not some sort, I mean, from my point of view, this is not some kind of hypothetical issue. This is very real.
But as long as you and I have both been in office, when we were first elected, we were saying, I remember this, why are we planning as though nothing's going to change? And here we are 20-some years later, and they're planning for another 20 years down the road as if nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right,
we've been making these comments forever. And as long as we keep signing on and going, yeah, it's just hypothetical, those 20 years go fast, right?
Sure do.
Yeah. So let's not say, oh, okay, go ahead, because it's not really okay.
So let's say that. This is not okay.
Right. I move this is not okay.
I'll second
all
that.
Right.
And, you know,
all right. Thank you, Jack.
And perhaps more specifically, that all of these models seem a little unrealistic in terms of their failure to take into account the pace at which the cost of motor vehicle fuel is, you know, spiraling out of control.
They're not unrealistic if you make money building highways or building right, single occupancy vehicles or drilling for oil, then they're very realistic. They're the goals that you want to be setting.
Right.
So I think after we vote on their motion, another motion might be that the model, as you're saying, does not recognize the rate at which fuel costs are rising and the immediate necessity to prioritize alternative forms of transportation and land use patterns that will support them.
And could we say, could we put in parentheses? In parentheses, immediate means less than 2 years, because sometimes immediate with DOT can mean 20, 30 years. So maybe we need to define immediate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't care. So if you want to say 2 years, that's immediate, less than 2 years. I'd say immediate this year.
Okay, immediate this year. Immediate before Dan
leaves.
In this
plan is what we're talking about.
Right, exactly. Okay, immediate, within this year. Gotcha.
All right. To me, those sound like, that doesn't sound like two different motions. It sounds like one motion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take it as a motion from Jackie and seconded by
Sammy
and thirded by Dan, maybe.
Or however.
Wait a minute. I made a motion irrespective
of this. Let's do this separately. Okay. Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's do them both.
Let's clean it up.
All right, so what is the first
motion? My motion is, this is not okay. Really, it does not take into account the desire for change in our transportation habits. Mm-hmm. You second that, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, first time we've done that, isn't it? Yeah.
All right. So that's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed. Matter passed unanimously. Dan, restate your motion if you
I have
will.
To remember it now. My motion was that the plan as drafted does not take into account the rate of increasing fuel costs and the immediate necessity to prioritize alternative forms of transportation and land use planning that will support them.
Okay.
I'll second that.
That's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed.
And in both motions, we were actually moving that they are incorporated in the resolution attachment A, I believe.
Yes.
Clearly. Okay.
I need a little break before we move on.
Okay. We will we'll take a if it's okay with the rest of the board, we'll take a 4-minute recess. Come back at 9:02.
Really?
No, probably
yes,
not.
Really.
But
I think it's good to say 2 minutes, and then we'll come back 5 minutes.